Taken from the Benton County Democrat, April 27, 1893. Clara Fizer, the angel of death, has visited our Sabbath school for the first time since its organization and taken away one of its brightest jewels. While we sadly mourn her departure, we humbly submit to the all-wise providence of our Heavenly Father, relying on His promise that all things work together for good to those who love and serve Him. Be it resolved that in the death of Clara Fizer, the Crossroads Sabbath School lost one of its most popular and zealous members, but while our school is poor by her loss, heaven is rich and more attractive. In the late 19th century, heaven was not merely a destination but a promise of eternal peace and divine fellowship. This period, marked by revivals and a resurgence of evangelical fervor, saw heaven as a place of ultimate refuge and reward for the righteous. It was commonly believed that heaven was a realm of unimaginable beauty, where sorrow was unknown and the trials of earthly life dissolved into the joy of God's presence. As we recount the words of Clara's obituary, noting how her community felt both a profound loss and a hopeful resignation to divine will, we reflect on this dual sentiment that characterizes so many narratives of the time. While they mourned the loss of a beloved soul, they also celebrated the belief that Clara had ascended to a richer, more glorious existence. Join us in episode 6 of The Final Tale as we explore how these beliefs shaped the lives and the deaths of those in the 1890s, and how they continue to echo in the way we perceive life and afterlife today. In the summer of her 33rd year, Lizzie Jump left the familiar streets of Fremont, Nebraska, to journey southward to Bentonville, Arkansas, a town whispered about in certain circles as a haven for those grappling with the merciless clutches of consumption. Her health, a delicate thread frayed by relentless coughs and the unforgiving chill of illness, had cast a shadow over her vibrant spirit. Driven by a blend of hope and desperation, Lizzie sought refuge in the promise of Bentonville's gentle climate and healing airs. As she arrived in the small town, the warmth of the sun and the lush greenery that stretched across the horizon seemed to welcome her, a stark contrast to the bustling noise of Chicago and the expansive, windswept fields of Nebraska. Here, in this quiet corner of the world, Lizzie hoped to find the peace and strength necessary to mend her weary body. The local community, known for their warm hospitality and the close-knit bonds forged among them, quickly took note of the new arrival. Lizzie, with her gentle manners and a smile that belied her suffering, endeared herself to her new neighbors. They welcomed her not as a stranger from the north, but as a friend who had simply not yet arrived. In these early days, as Lizzie settled into her new surroundings, she found solace in the simple pleasures of Bentonville, the clear, flowing waters, the fresh, unpolluted air, and the tranquil evenings under starlit skies. Each breath, each step taken on the soft earth of Arkansas, seemed to offer a whisper of hope that here, in this place, she might find the cure she so desperately sought. As the days unfolded in Bentonville, Lizzie's frail body began to respond to the embrace of its nurturing environment. The warmth of the sun and the purity of the local water seemed to breathe a new life into her lungs. Once constricted by the grip of consumption, with each passing day, she felt a vitality she had thought lost, a recovery mirrored in the light that returned to her eyes and the color to her cheeks. The town's hopeful whispers turned into exclamations of joy as Lizzie walked the streets with an ease that spoke of a profound healing taking place. During this period of respite, Lizzie's world expanded beyond the confines of her illness. She immersed herself in the community, forming bonds that went deep and fast. Her talents, particularly in music and literature, found a receptive audience among the townsfolk, and her presence at church gatherings and social events became a source of inspiration. The friendships she nurtured were marked by laughter and deep conversations, creating a tapestry of connections that enriched her days. Her home became a haven of sorts, often filled with the sounds of piano melodies drifting through open windows, enticing neighbors to pause and listen. The community's children, drawn by her kindness and the stories she wove from her past adventures, gathered eagerly at her doorstep, their faces upturned in fascination as she spoke of cities and sights they had only imagined. This period was a cherished chapter in Lizzie's life, a sweet interlude that allowed her to live beyond her disease. She flourished under the care and affection of her new friends, and for a while, it seemed as though the shadow of consumption had loosened its hold, fooled perhaps by the strength of her spirit. and the joy that filled her days in Bentonville. Despite the promising signs of recovery and the joys of new friendships, the specter of consumption loomed, unyielding in its pursuit. As the seasons shifted, so too did Lizzie's fleeting grasp on health. The illness, ever cunning and cruel, clawed its way back, diminishing the gains she had made. The vigor that had infused her steps began to wane, and the color drained once more from her cheeks, leaving behind a pallor that spoke of the relentless siege within. As weeks turned into months, the battle against consumption intensified. Lizzie, once buoyed by the hope of healing, found herself ensnared in agony, her body a battleground upon which no victory seemed possible. The disease, relentless in its devastation, stripped her of consciousness intermittently, leaving her adrift in a sea of pain and morphine-induced haze. Her brother, George Jump, upon receiving the dire news, hastened from Bon Terre, Missouri, a race against time fueled by sibling love and desperation. However, fate's cruel timing held him at bay, his arrival marred by the bitter truth that he was too late. Lizzie had departed on her final journey just a day before, leaving behind a community cloaked in mourning and a brother shattered by loss. With a heavy heart, George prepared for the somber journey back to Beardstown, Illinois, with Lizzie's remains. Her life, marked by resilience and grace under the fiercest of trials, had woven her deeply into the hearts of those she had touched in Bentonville. Her departure was not just a personal loss to her family, but a communal sorrow, felt by all who had been warmed by her smile and lifted by her spirit. Her final resting place in Oak Grove Cemetery would be far from the town that had become her last refuge. Yet her legacy remained, indelibly etched into the fabric of Bentonville and beyond. April 17, 1891, marked a chilling dawn in the small farming community near Osborne, Missouri, where Simeon H. Harris lived with his wife, Flora. Known for his robust energy and youthful vigor, Simeon's life was a testament to the rough demands and unpredictable mercy of rural existence. That evening, as twilight bled into darkness, Simeon was detained by unavoidable business in Osborne. The journey home was a lonely one, illuminated only by the pale light of the moon, which cast long shadows across the dirt path that led to his modest farmhouse. He arrived well past midnight, his mind weary from the day's dealings, his body tense with the cold whisper of premonition that often accompanies the approach of fate. Flora, ever the attentive wife, had prepared a late supper for him, keeping the food warm by the hearth. The house, filled with the quiet hum of the late night, seemed to hold its breath as Simeon took his place at the table. His hands, still strong despite the ailments that had recently begun to plague him, trembled slightly as he reached for his fork. As the clock ticked past 3 a.m., a cruel twist of fate unfolded. Midway through his meal, Simeon's hand froze, his fork clattering to the plate with a stark finality. His voice, once full of authority and warmth, was reduced to a strained whisper as he called out to Flora, "I am paralyzed." Flora, who had been resting in the adjoining room, rushed to his side. The room, dimly lit by the dying fire, bore witness to a scene of desperate intimacy. There she was, alone with her stricken husband, her hands trembling as she tried to comfort him, her mind racing against the shadow of impending loss. Despite his suffering, Simeon's thoughts were of solace and farewell. With a strength born of deep faith and enduring love, he prayed, his words a gentle cascade of hope and resignation. As he whispered his final words to Flora, his spirit began to slip away, as softly as one succumbs to a deep, peaceful sleep. By dawn, the news had traveled, and the house was no longer silent, but filled with the soft murmurs of neighbors who came bearing the dual gifts of compassion and shared mourning. They gathered around Flora, offering shoulders to lean on and hands to hold, their presence a small comfort against the vast emptiness left by Simeon's passing. Simeon Harris, born in the hopeful spring of 1861 and wed to Flora amidst the golden hues of an October day in 1881, had lived a life punctuated by both joy and profound sorrow. His union with Flora had blossomed swiftly, but had also seen the tragic loss of their only child, a boy whose brief life had been a fleeting, precious chapter in their shared story. Now, Flora faced the world alone, her heart heavy with losses that seemed too great to bear. The community, in its tender, awkward way, tried to fill the silence left by Simeon's departure. They spoke not just of grief, but of the strength and faith that had characterized his too short life, hoping to weave his memory into a tapestry of comfort for his bereft wife. As the sun set on the day of Simeon's funeral, held in the modest church where he had once been a vibrant presence, the words spoken were of life's fleeting nature and the profound impact one soul can have on many. Simeon H. Harris, in life and in death, remained a binding thread in the fabric of their community, a reminder of the fragile, precious nature of each day. In the quaint town of Pea Ridge, nestled among the undulating landscapes of the Ozarks, the story of Mary Clementine Gamble and Frank Baker began with a shared glance under the vast Arkansas sky. Known to all as Clemmy, she was the beloved daughter of Alex G. Gamble, a man whose reputation for kindness and integrity was well regarded throughout the community. Clemmy inherited her father's warm heart and spirited nature, making her a cherished figure in the lives of all who knew her. Clemmy's life took a joyous turn when she met Frank Baker, a young man of earnest demeanor and steadfast resolve. Frank, with his gentle strength and quiet confidence, quickly won the heart of Clemmy and her family. Their courtship was a series of tender moments shared amidst the backdrop of rolling hills and the simple rhythms of rural life. Frank, who worked the land with a devotion that mirrored his love for Clemmy, saw in her not just a partner, but a soulmate. Their wedding was a reflection of their lives, simple yet deeply heartfelt. Held in the local church filled with wildflowers and the warm glow of lantern light, the ceremony was attended by the tight-knit community of Pea Ridge. As Clemmy walked down the aisle, her smile was a beacon of the love and happiness that filled the room. The couple exchanged vows of enduring love and support, a promise made in the presence of their families and God. Together, they built their homestead on a modest parcel of land, a cozy haven that quickly became filled with laughter and love. Clemmy, ever the nurturer, tended to their home with a grace and efficiency that made it a welcoming place for neighbors and friends. Her kitchen was often filled with the aroma of fresh baked bread and the latest gossip from around town, shared over cups of steaming tea. Frank and Clemmy's life together was a partnership of equals, each supporting the other through the trials and triumphs of life. They faced the challenges of farming and the uncertainties of weather and crop yields with a united front, drawing strength from their love for each other. As the years passed, their union was blessed with the joyous laughter of children, adding a new dimension to their love. Clemmy embraced motherhood with the same passion and dedication she gave to every aspect of her life, teaching her children the values of kindness, resilience, and love that she herself had learned from her beloved father. Thus, in the union of their souls, Clemmy and Frank Baker crafted a life filled with love, purpose, and the quiet joy of shared existence, setting the stage for both their brightest joys and most challenging trials in the winters to come. As the winter of 1890 descended upon Pea Ridge, a harsh chill took hold of the land and the hearts of its people. The season brought not only the frost that blanketed the fields, but also a fierce bout of pneumonia that swept through the community, leaving many bedridden and gasping for breath. It was during this bleak time that Frank Baker fell victim to the merciless illness. Clemmy, ever the steadfast partner, transformed their home into a sanctuary of healing. Her days and nights dedicated to nursing Frank back to health, Clemmy's care was tireless. She brewed herbal teas known for their healing properties, fetched from recipes passed down through generations. She sat by Frank's bedside, applying cold compresses to his fevered brow, and whispered words of encouragement when the coughs racked his body. Her devotion was a testament to her love, her hands never idle as she fought against the unseen enemy that threatened to take her beloved away. The community rallied around the Bakers, neighbors stepping in to help with the chores that couldn't wait for illness or recovery. The local physician, Dr. Coffelt, visited regularly, his face etched with concern as he monitored Frank's slow, painstaking progress. His horse-drawn carriage became a familiar sight, stirring up clouds of dust as it approached the Baker homestead. Slowly, with Clemmy's unwavering care and the prayers of the entire community, Frank began to show signs of recovery. His cough lessened, his breathing eased, and the color returned to his cheeks. It seemed they had weathered the storm together. But as Frank regained his strength, fate took a cruel turn. Clemmy, who had been the pillar of strength, fell ill herself. The strain of caregiving and the relentless exposure to the illness took their toll, and she was soon battling her own severe case of pneumonia. Her illness struck swiftly and with devastating intensity. Even as Clemmie fought for every breath, Frank, barely recovered, had to leave her side to attend to his sister, who was also gravely ill. Clemmie, despite her weakened state, insisted on helping Frank prepare for the journey, her love for him overshadowing her own suffering. Frank left with a heavy heart, torn between his duties as a brother and his desire to stay with Clemmie. Shortly after his departure, Clemmie's condition worsened dramatically. Early on a frosty Wednesday morning, she was seized by a severe chill that left her shivering uncontrollably under layers of blankets. Dr. Coffelt was summoned immediately, and the home once again became a hub of urgent activity. Despite the best efforts of kind friends and the skilled direction of Dr. Coffelt, Clemmie's health declined rapidly. A messenger was dispatched post-haste to fetch Frank, urging him to return before it was too late. The urgency of the situation hung heavy in the air as the community of Pea Ridge watched and waited, hoping against hope for a miracle that would spare the kind-hearted Clemmie from the cruel grasp of illness. The grim news of Clemmie's dire condition reached Frank while he was at his sister's bedside. With his heart heavy and his mind clouded with worry, he rushed back to Pea Ridge, praying he would not be too late. The journey back seemed longer than it had ever been, each mile stretching endlessly as Frank's thoughts raced with fear and sorrow. Upon his return, the sight that greeted him was one of quiet desperation. The homestead, usually filled with warmth and laughter, was somber, the air thick with the scent of medicine and the low murmur of consoling voices. Clemmie lay in their bed, her breaths shallow and labored, her face pale against the stark white of the pillows. Frank's arrival brought a brief flicker of recognition to her eyes, and with the little strength she had left, she gave him a tender, reassuring smile. In those final hours, Frank held Clemmie's hand tightly, whispering words of love and shared memories, trying to comfort her as she had so often comforted him. Around them, the room was filled with the silent strength of their family and friends, each person holding onto their own thread of hope, yet preparing for the inevitable. Dr. Coffelt and the local pastor, Mr. Carnahan, were constant presences, providing medical and spiritual support. Despite every effort, Clemmie's condition deteriorated rapidly, and as the sun set on that fateful day, she passed away, her family and friends bearing witness to her final moments. Her father, affectionately known as Uncle Alec, and her siblings arrived only to find that they were too late. Death had claimed Clemmie before they could say their goodbyes. The impact of Clemmie's death reverberated through Pea Ridge like a stone cast into a still pond. The community mourned deeply, for Clemmie had touched many lives with her kindness, generosity, and vibrant spirit. The funeral was held on a crisp, clear day, the somber skies mirroring the collective heartache of all those gathered. Mr. Carnahan's eulogy captured the essence of Clemmie's life, praising her devotion as a wife, mother, daughter, and friend. His words, heartfelt and poignant, brought tears to many eyes as he spoke of the void that Clemmie's passing had left in the community. Clemmie was laid to rest in the Pea Ridge Cemetery, alongside her mother and other relatives who had preceded her in death. The gravesite, covered with a blanket of fresh flowers, stood as a testament to the love and respect the community held for her. As the final words of the service were spoken, there was a collective feeling of closure, though the pain of loss lingered. In the days that followed, the Baker homestead felt empty and quiet. Frank, heartbroken yet resilient, faced the daunting task of moving forward. His sister, Miss Minnie Baker, took up residence in the Baker home to help care for Clemmie's and Frank's daughter, ensuring that the child would continue to grow in a loving environment, surrounded by memories of her mother. Clemmie's legacy lived on not just in her family, but in the entire community. Her kindness, her unwavering spirit, and her dedication to her loved ones became stories that were passed down, inspiring all who remembered her. Though gone, Clemmie's spirit remained a beacon of love and strength in Pea Ridge, her life a reminder of the power of compassion and the enduring bonds of community. In cemeteries around the country, gravestones are silently weathering away, eventually to be lost and forgotten. We encourage you to reach out to your state or local gravestone project and contribute to their efforts to catalog and replace these gravestones, so that families can continue to locate and honor their friends and family who have passed. If you would like to support our podcast, you can head to our website at thefinaltale.com or find us on Patreon as The Final Tale.